First Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to verse 23. First Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to the end. And let me read it for you and just listen to God's word this morning as it's being read, if you would please. First Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. Okay, I think I'm in the right place here. Whether to the king. Oh, there we go. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. let me start again. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the kings. Slaves, submit yourselves to your master with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you as an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And I'll read this last verse because it does fit. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. May God richly bless his word. You may be seated. When I began this series of messages about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I mentioned that 1 Peter deals with some topics that make us as Americans rather uncomfortable. And I guess that can be good, I suppose, because sometimes we do need to be confronted, and sometimes we do need to be challenged. We don't want to get too comfortable, and I'm sure all of us at some point or another have become rather complacent and maybe too comfortable in some of our thinking and some of our actions. But Peter is talking here to a group of people who faced enormous hardship, enormous persecution, enormous trials. He is talking to a group of people who suffered immensely and were persecuted immensely because they attached themselves to this prophet, if you would, this Messiah, this rabbi, that went about doing good, that went about performing miracles, that went about even creating chaos in some circles and in the minds of some. In today's text, Peter is, first of all, talking about submitting for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. He offers a stern warning here for us to take those who are in authority over us to look at them very seriously. And we know here in the United States, we have all kinds of different political views. We have all kinds of different stripes and all kinds of different influences upon us politically. And as far as those who are in leadership positions, we know that there's the good, the bad, the ugly, and everyone in between. And we know that for the most part, As believers, we are to understand that our system of government, our constitution, our entire framework, if you will, is something that we believe is ordained of God. And we believe that whoever is in authority over us is ordained of God. It's sometimes hard to swallow. It's sometimes hard to understand why. But we do know that if we're to follow Scripture carefully, then this is God's plan, this is God's mandate for us at this time. But for these believers during that particular time in history, it was certainly a different scenario altogether because of those who were facing so much hardship, so much suffering, so much persecution. Now, we know that we don't like to think about suffering. We don't like to think about being put in a difficult situation. We don't like to think about enduring hardship. We don't like to be equated with what Peter is talking about here. He's talking about slaves. And we covered this a little bit in our Sunday school class this morning. We talked about this, but Peter gets right down to it and he says, "Slaves, you ought to submit yourselves to your master with all respect." Now, that is not in the mindset of most Americans. We do not believe in slavery. Slavery was abolished under Abraham Lincoln over 200 years ago. When we think of slavery, we think we have all kinds of images in our mind. Last few evenings, I've been watching some reruns of the old program Roots, which is a classic, amazing story of a young man by the name of Kote Kinte, who grew up and who went through everything you can imagine about being a slave and being sold and traded and about being abused. And you see the horror and the terribleness that they endured during those days. And it gave me a new appreciation, I suppose, for what happened in that dark period of our history. But here in the history of this particular day, and in this Roman Empire, if you will, I'm told that one-third of the Roman world were slaves. And during that period of time, one-third of the Roman world meant that there were over 60 million people who were into slavery. Slavery was factored into every aspect of the world economy of that time. Slavery was much part of their DNA, if you will. It was impossible to conceive the idea of life in that particular era without slavery, without that being prominent. The biblical writers introduced a new idea into the mix, and it was the idea of human dignity. So here we have Peter, who knew what was happening. He had his finger on the pulse as far as the mindset of slavery during that particular day, and he's offering God's perspective. And he's offering this idea that all humans have dignity. Christian teachers had the radical belief that each person had value and that each life was worth something. Therefore, the New Testament writers were challenging slave owners to treat their slaves with dignity and to treat them with respect as human beings. They also challenged slaves to treat their masters with respect and to do their work even though they were in very difficult situations and dire straits, to do their work with dignity and to do their work as slaves wholeheartedly. Now, some may interpret that to mean that the writers of the New Testament were in favor of slavery. But I would suggest to you that what they were in favor of was that each and every person realized that they had dignity before God, And they had value, they had worth in God's eyes. And so in this epistle, Peter doesn't speak to masters. He's speaking to slaves. And because they were the ones in his audience, he encouraged slaves to treat their masters with respect and do their best to stand up even during their mistreatment. And even though life seemed unfair, that they were to be people who would stand up to their masters with respect. Now, he's not condoning slavery. He's not saying it's okay. He's not saying that it's commendable. He's acknowledging the reality of the institution of slavery during that particular time period. And he's telling his audiences how to deal with it. How to deal with it. Now, there's a lot of things happening in our world today that we need to know how to deal with. There's a lot of injustice in this world that we need to know how to deal with. There's some of it we think we know how to deal with, but there's other things we don't. Peter is teaching how to deal with suffering. And he's teaching how to deal with mistreatment. Mistreatment. No one is exempt from that. Even today, there's not one of us that have not been treated unfairly. There's not one of us in here that have not suffered to one extent or another. All of us are painted with the same brush as far as this is concerned. We all suffer and experience mistreatment at some point in our lives, whether it's broken relationships, whether it's through a job, or whatever it might be. We're all there. We all go there. We all have been there. If we haven't been there, we're going to be there. And we're going to face it. The degree of suffering differs from place to place and certainly from generation to generation. But it is common to all of us. And no matter where you live or when you live or what era you live in, you must learn how to endure suffering. So the question is, how do we endure suffering in the day that we're in? You know, it's a bad word because we don't like the idea of suffering. We don't like the idea of anybody suffering pain or anybody suffering anything that's unfortunate happening in their lives. But we do know that suffering happens in many different ways, that people suffer in different degrees, that people suffer in different scenarios. And that's what I want us to look at very briefly this morning. And I want to talk to you about three things here and how we can endure suffering. The scriptures teach us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, endure hardship, Paul says to Timothy, that we are to endure hardship like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Like a good soldier. And then Peter wrote in verse 18, if you look in verse 18 of chapter 2 here, 1 Peter chapter 2, slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, and not only to those who are good and considerate, but those who are harsh. Those who are harsh. And I'm sure there were a lot of harsh people in that age. There were a lot of harsh slave owners. There were a lot of harsh people. The same as there's a lot of harsh people today. There's a lot of harsh people. And in today's passage, Peter provides the why to these commands. Why is it we're to endure hardship? Why is it we are to endure suffering? Does God have a purpose behind suffering? What does he have to say to us today as we even toy with the idea that hardship and suffering may be before us? Well, I know that God says to us that there are some things that are important. And number one, the first thing I see here is that even though we don't like this thought necessarily, but Peter is saying that enduring suffering is something that pleases God. Enduring suffering is something that pleases God. Now, how in the world could that be? How can we understand it to be that way? Well, look at what the scriptures teach us. Verse number 19. Peter tells us that enduring suffering really pleases God. And this is what he says: for it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. And then in verse number 20, but how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Lots of things I like about family. In my own family, you know, I like it when my two boys and my daughter, when they don't complain. And Lord knows they've complained a lot in the past. When we've gone through hard times, you know, everybody kind of sticks together. And if you're part of a family where that's happened, where, you know, through thick and thin, through difficult times, in the end result, everybody has stuck together, you are indeed blessed. You know, my kids accept the fact that sometimes life is hard, that life is tough, and that we need to weather the storm. And sometimes we have to weather the storm together. And we have to be unified and be on the same page. I never hear, well, maybe this idea of being a may is for birds. You know, maybe, maybe. I hear that word, but the word may be for is for the birds. It's too tough. I don't want to be a may anymore. I don't want that. When life gets tough and they endure it, you know, as a father, that pleases me. You know, as a father, do you think I want my family to suffer? As a father, do you want to think you want your family to suffer? You want your children to suffer? No. We don't want that. We don't want to see our children suffer. We don't want to see our kids go through hard times, difficult times. We don't want them to get involved in bad relationships. We don't want them to get involved in habits and things that will destroy them physically and mentally and emotionally, because we've got their best interests at heart. We care and we love for our kids. You know, I guess there's a yes and a no to this in many ways. The fact is, there's a part of me that says, I don't want my kids to hurt. I don't want my kids to suffer pain. I don't enjoy seeing them do without. I don't like it when they have to make sacrifices. I don't like it when they have to go through all these things. But you know what? I know that suffering is something that develops character. Hard times is something that develops even a sense of beauty, even a sense of peace. The principle is true about life. No pain, no gain. You ever hear that statement made? No pain, no gain. I know that unless my children face some obstacles along the way, they'll never be able to learn. They'll never be able to grow. They'll never be able to say, I've been down there and I've been there and I've done that. So there is a part of me that says, you know, I want my kids to be protected, but I'd like them to learn some lessons of what not to do in life, of how not to live, so that they can be well prepared and they can make the best choices in the future. It's the same with God. The suffering part is inevitable. It is. Every Christian and non-Christian in the world must endure suffering. The rain, the sunshine, the snow falls on the just and on the unjust, on everybody. We're all included. But the willingness to endure suffering, to stay faithful to God during the process, that's something that pleases the Father. That's the lesson that Peter's trying to teach us here. That the suffering that you go through and your willingness to please the Father, your willingness to do good, to do right, your desire to honor God even in the midst of that suffering, is what's most important. Now, most of the time, many times, we get in a little hissy fit, don't we? And sometimes we blame God and we say, Lord, this is your fault. Why are you allowing this? Why are you having me to go through all this? And that's a natural thing for us to to be confronted with. But most of the time, you know, God is up to something. And you've heard me say it, that sometimes a setback is a setup for what God wants to do. And that is included with suffering. You know, whatever suffering you're facing today, it could be it could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be relational, it could be your employment, it could be a wide host of things. I would suggest that every single one of us here in this room today are suffering to one extent or another. There is a little bit of suffering going on in every single one of us. Some people, there's a lot of suffering going on. To some people, we know that it just seems time and time again. It's one thing after another, and it snowballs. It gets worse, it seems. And we wonder, how are they going to be able to handle it? How are they going to be able to endure this suffering? Well, that's a good question. You either endure it with God's help or without God's help. You either endure it with His presence or without His presence. And I guess the older you get and the more suffering you go through and the more experiences you have, the more you realize that what is needed is your sense of trust in God. God, are you able to help me through it? God, is your word really true when it says, trust in the Lord with all your strength, lean not unto your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and I shall direct your path? Do we really believe that verse of Scripture? Sometimes we say we do, but do we really? Sometimes we sometimes suffer for doing good. Sometimes we suffer because of our mistakes. Sometimes we suffer because of bad choices, bad relationships, being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Sometimes we suffer and it's not our fault. Sometimes we suffer and it may be someone else's fault. You see, it's all part of that, and it's how we deal with it. Everyone here has been mistreated by someone at some point in your life. Maybe it's because you were right, or maybe it's because you were wrong, but things aren't always that clear-cut. Things aren't always what they seem to be. But here's what you can do about it, I guess, you know, that you can trust God. God, I don't know how much this is my fault, but I want to do what is right. Maybe that's a prayer that ought to saturate in our minds and our hearts and our thoughts. And I'm going to endure what I have to endure because I want to please You. And so Peter is saying that our suffering, the desire ought to be to please God. I know that's so far away from our thoughts. That's so far away from our minds, because when we're going through suffering, we just want to get it over with, right? We just want to see it end. We just want to see it come to a good conclusion for everybody that's concerned. But Peter says, God's word says, that when we suffer, that our desire ought to be to please Him. The second thing he says is that enduring suffering fulfills our calling. Now, I guess that's an open-ended statement. It fulfills our calling in what sense and how? A lot of questions come up when you make a statement like that. Verse 21, this is what it says. To this you were called. Peter is saying, you were called to suffering? Yeah. To this you were called. You were called to suffer. You were called to suffer. Because, why? Because Christ suffered for you. He suffered for you. And we have no understanding, and we cannot begin to understand the height and the depth of Jesus' suffering when He went to the cross and when He suffered so that you and I might have eternal life. Coming up in a few weeks' time, we're going to be remembering the cross. We're going to be remembering Easter and what happened when Jesus was nailed between those two thieves and when He shed His blood, when His body was broken. But how wonderful it was when He rose from the dead, when He resurrected on the third day. That's the victory that we have. That's your victory. That's my victory. That's the victory we have to claim. But in order for him to do that, he had to suffer. In order for us to know victory, there has to be suffering beforehand. And this is what Peter is getting at. That enduring suffering is something that fulfills your calling. Like it or not, suffering is our heritage. For us to get where we are today, there had to be some suffering. For this country to get where it is today, there had to be some suffering on the part of our forefathers, upon those who blazed the trail beforehand. 1 Peter chapter 3, look what it says, verse 14. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Think about that. And then 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1, look what it says. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude. Same attitude? The attitude of suffering? And then verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 4, look what Peter says again. Dear friends, do not be surprised, all right? Do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering. In other words, he's saying, as sure as the sun is going to set tonight, and as sure as the sun is going to rise again tomorrow, somewhere, you're going to have to endure suffering again. Because suffering is a part of life. Now, as I said earlier, everyone suffers. The rain falls on the just and on the unjust. The big difference is how we respond. The big difference is how we react through faith. You know, someone in the world who does not know Jesus Christ, how do they react to suffering? How do they react? Well, they react by maybe going into a woe is me mindset, or maybe they go into a mindset that blames people. Maybe they go into a mindset that, all kinds of different things come out. But the Bible is clear in telling us as Christians today that when we suffer, that it could be God's will. It could be God's calling. It could be God's plan for you. Now, we don't think about it that way. We're conditioned not to think about it that way. We're conditioned to think about it in terms of whatever brings the most convenience and comfort to us at the present time. But God says in his word, he says, it could be his plan. I told you about a friend of mine who was a fellow pastor up in Toronto who was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and who passed away a couple of years ago now. He was diagnosed in February that he only had a few months to live. Well, he was kind of hoping for the best, that he knew his days were numbered, but he felt that what he had to do was make the most that he could possibly make of it all. And every single day he made it his ambition, his goal, his desire to talk about Jesus with other people and to mention his name. Even in his last couple of hours of life before he passed away and before he went home to heaven, he was talking to the nurses about Jesus and about how important it was to have a relationship with him. And there were people that came to know Christ through his suffering. And I might dare say there may be people coming to know Christ as a result of your suffering. My own brother in 1994 was killed tragically in a car accident. He and his buddy were headed to work one early Friday morning, and they hit a patch of ice. And their car skidded, and they hit a bridge head-on. They died instantly. And as a result of that, his wife came to know Christ. His daughter came to know Christ. Family members came to know Jesus Christ in a personal way. And so, you know, I believe strongly that God works things all together for good to those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. I believe that there is a purpose behind suffering. And maybe if you're going through suffering right now, God has a purpose. God has a plan. You may not be able to know that plan. You may not be able to see that plan. You may not be able to put your hands and be able to identify what that plan is right now. But God has a plan. And there are those here this morning, you're living testimonies of that plan of God in operation through your suffering. Well, I wish I could have had more time, but basically we're called to endure suffering in a way that brings glory to God. And here's the final thing that Peter talks about, and that is enduring suffering is a way of being like Jesus. Think about the suffering Jesus went through. Think about what he endured on the cross, despising the shame, as the scripture says. Verse 21, this you were called because Christ suffered for you. He suffered for you, leaving an example. He gave us an example of how to suffer. He gave us an example of the right kind of attitude to have while we're suffering. That you should follow in his steps, Peter says. Here's the example, verse 22. Now, none of us could meet this requirement. None of us could ever match up to this, but it says, he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. He was a sinless Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish. There was no deceit. There was no insults. There was no threats. Nothing of that mentioned. You see, all of these three things that I just mentioned deal with the spoken word, or more clearly, the unspoken word. Jesus responded to suffering with silence. He used silence a lot. When people spoke to him about his suffering, he did not respond. Even on the cross, he was asked about his suffering. He did not respond. He was silent. And it is a good example maybe to follow sometimes. Sometimes people like to be able to share everything that's going on in their body, every little pain, every little ache, every little heartache, every little problem. They want to get it out there and talk about it to others. Sometimes it's best just to be quiet. We sometimes want to get in the last word, don't we? And there's only one way to do it. And maybe it's to say nothing at all, but to just trust God to take care of us. Endure that suffering, the suffering you must endure. And endure it silently and trust God to take care of you. Because that is really what it comes down to. And the bottom final analysis is just trusting God. Trusting him. Peter wrote in verse 15, it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Good advice. Good advice. So, what is your attitude towards suffering today? It's very possible that this week you may have to endure some suffering. I've been in situations before on a Sunday morning, talked to people, and they were all smiling and everything is going great. But by the middle of the week, their world caves in on them. Everything falls apart. I mean, we have no guarantee of what's going to happen tomorrow. We have no guarantee of what's going to happen on Wednesday or Friday or any other day of the week. We have no guarantee of these things. But there is one guarantee. And that guarantee is that we know that God is with us. There is that one guarantee of knowing that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. There is that one guarantee of knowing that we can trust him through thick or thin, no matter what. No matter what falls our way. Let's pray. Father, it's hard for us to even think about it. But sometimes, Lord, it's good to thank you for the opportunities we have for suffering. Not that we want to suffer, Not that we want to endure pain and hardship and difficulties, but we know that you have a plan. And I pray, Father, that even through our times of suffering, no matter what it may entail, no matter how it may come our way, Lord, that we would trust you and we would believe your promises. That's why it's so good to stand on the promises, to be standing on the promises of Christ our Savior. That's why it's always so good, Lord, to believe your word, to hide your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you. That's why, Lord, we want to endure suffering as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, this is our prayer today. Give us courage, Lord. Encourage us, we pray, in the Master's name. Amen.